Welcome to New Life Church teaching titled Suffering in the Believer's Life. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
This is a teaching that I did in the book of Philippians. Pastor Steve asked that I bring it also to the church. So some of you have heard this teaching. This might be just a little different. They never come out the same twice. I told Pastor Steve, I said, I've taught on suffering for 2 weeks. I don't know if there's another suffering in me. But the sufferings of Christ is a revelation. I know in a lot of popular teaching today, the sufferings of Christ are, or for Christians to suffer, it's almost like it's taboo. We have a lot of what's called prosperity teaching today, which I'm all for, being prosperous. I think that a lot of things we can be prosperous in this world. But the one the Apostle Paul is looking at and wanting us to see today is how can we be prosperous in the Spirit? How can Christians be prosperous in things of the Spirit? God loves you as much as He loves Himself. So that's a pretty big love. The reason we are even here today is to learn about the ways of the Spirit. What is this thing about the spiritual world? What is going on? There's got to be something about the spiritual world because there's too much fake out there about it. All the movies, all the TV shows are something about the supernatural world. They're trying to come up with some type of an explanation. I mean, they went from werewolves to living dead to whatever. I mean, come on, somebody. You know, the living dead, that resurrection doesn't look too good. It's amazing how the earth is given testimony that there's something going on out there, and there's something big. There's something going on. Is anybody noticing that you can't find normal anymore? Or is it just me? You just can't find normal. Where's normal? What about just normal? It's not even there anymore. Everything's moving so fast. I mean, you can just lay something down. It's not even there the next week, much less your life. Everything is moving so fast. Something's going on. As Christians, we have an advantage over the world. We had Jesus Christ who came and gave His life for us to show us and give us a pattern of how we can live in the Spirit in a natural world. That is a combination, and it is something to be accomplished and to achieve. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians gives us an example. He gives us a roadmap, if you will. He gives us a secret map of how we can walk in the things of the Spirit. So as I use this topic, suffering as a Christian, usually the first thing that happens to people is this is a bad thing. If you want to have a healthier body and you're going to exercise, it's going to cost you something. Somebody's got to pay a bill. You got to suffer. The more you suffer, the better the benefit. And we say, well, that's very healthy for my body. Did you know that suffering is just calisthenics of the soul? You missed a wonderful place to say amen, glory, hallelujah. It's a wonderful place. It's calisthenics of the soul, of the spirit. You can say, well, Alan, why is it that way? I have no idea. Except I know that Christ suffered for us. Suffering is a lifestyle of the believer. You say, well, Alan, I like the prosperity better. This is very prosperous. I'm not done yet. Hang in there with me. Very prosperous. Jesus Christ suffered for you and I. He's showing us something. Everybody's suffering in some area. Have you noticed that? I mean, everybody's got something they're suffering in. You come to Jesus and you begin to suffer. You were suffering anyway, you just couldn't see it, but you come to, it's all like, what? Listen, did you know that if you take karate, the secret to karate is you use your opponent's weight against himself. So you learn different moves to use their weight against themselves. So is suffering. Suffering is a way to combat. It's a spiritual warfare, combating spiritual warfare. It's an opportunity to use the weight of the enemy against himself. Satan entered Judas Iscariot, betrayed Christ. He killed the King of Glory by his statement and his kiss. But yet the death of Christ was the very thing that was the atonement of all mankind. God used Satan's weight against himself. Satan cut his own throat. Oh. Jesus didn't suffer against his will. It's because he knew the ways of the Spirit. He knew the ways of the Spirit. And until we get it in the suffering, it will keep working against us. The more you use your suffering for things of the Spirit, the less suffering you'll have. Satan says, "Oh, this one's working backwards on me." Let's watch it. Suffering as a Christian. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1 right quickly, if you will. I'm going to read just a few verses. In Philippians chapter 1, if you got your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 1. I'll be reading now the King James. If you have another version, that's fine. But I'll be reading now the King James. I'm one of those type that hadn't seen the light yet. King James, Philippians chapter 1. I'll be reading if you don't understand it. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with what? With joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will do what? He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God has made us a promise. He has made us a promise. And that promise is you can be confident that God's begun a good work in you. And he will continue it until Christ comes again. So God's made you a promise. He's going to do this work in you. Verse 7, even as it is meant for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Turn over to verse 21. And it says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Yet ye stand fast, you see that? Stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to do what? Also to suffer for who? also to suffer for his sake. What place does suffering have in the life of a Christian? Is it real? Does it have a place? The only thing I can tell you is we've all got one. We have all in here got one place of suffering. As I've said before, if somebody doesn't have one, I've got an extra one. I'll rent it out to you. We all have our own points of suffering. Now let's look at this at a different light. Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted, for whose sake? Christ's sake. Not only to believe in him, but to also to suffer for his sake. Suffering for his sake. Suffering for his sake. I've said this, and I'll say it again. I've had people ask me, say, well, Alan, Jesus is not on the cross anymore. And I'll say, yes, that's true, but he's still suffering. Jesus is not on the cross. He is risen, but he's still suffering. Let me answer this question for you. Watch it. Paul tells us that suffering is a gift that comes with salvation. Now you can say glory. Thank you. It is a gift that comes with salvation. Now, if it's a gift that comes for salvation, it's got to be a good gift. Perhaps we don't have the spiritual definition of what this produces. What is this? Paul tells us that suffering is a gift that comes with salvation. According to this verse, for whose sake do we suffer? For whose sake? For Christ's sake, we are suffering. Now I want to show you something. According to Philippians 1, did Paul suffer? For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart. Now where does he have them? Has them in their heart. Now take note of that. Paul says it's all right for him to feel this way because he's talking to the Philippian church. He says, I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of what? Grace with me. Paul's in prison when he writes this. Paul has this congregation in his heart. Paul is suffering for this congregation. I want you to consider something. Verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Now here Paul is in prison. He has them in their heart. Paul is suffering for the gospel. And his response is, now I want y'all to know, people, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Now we preach and we pray, God send the fire, God send you spirit. God, we want to be more in the spirit and we want to do all that. And God says, okay, now we're going to send some suffering to get you there. So Alan didn't want to get it that way. Well, we should have read the book before we went to praying. Right? Does God send the fire? Does fire burn? Does it consume? Do you want to put your hand in the fire? God send the fire. You know, all these songs, God send. I'm like, oh, God send. Ooh. We need to read the book. Or when the fire comes, it's a good thing, not a bad thing. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known. Now I want to teach you something right here in this next one. There's three dimensions of suffering. Three dimensions. Now when we read the scriptures, they have a linear observation. Paul's in prison. He's speaking to the church at Philippi. But you are made up body, soul, and spirit. You're three-dimensional. Body, soul, and spirit. You got Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, and God. It's dimensional. We're created in that image. We are dimensional. So each dimension of you, each part of your person, relates to a dimension of this book. Now let me show it to you. first dimension, natural world, Paul was imprisoned for the gospel. That's linear. That's first dimension, the world. Second, we all have our own internal imprisonments. Talking about your soul. Paul was in prison. Has anybody got any internal? Are you imprisoned to anything? We all have our own internal imprisonments. It can be an attitude, the way we think. We can have anger, jealousy, strife, bickering. We can have all this stuff. We've all got our own personal imprisonments. Second dimension. Third dimension. Seeing the imprisonments of others. Third dimension. Have you experienced seeing the imprisonments of others? How many have can feel that? The experience of others. We associate. Now, when the Holy Spirit is in you, you'll associate with the pain of others more than you will the pain of yourself. That's the reason when Pastor Steve comes up here and says, anybody got a pain here? Has anybody got? It's association. It's third dimensional, seeing imprisonments of others. It's Bible. It's just a practical way for us to work it out. You can say, well, Alan looks a little weird. Well, I'm sure heaven's going to look weird to everybody, you know. It's heaven stuff. It's spirit stuff. It's not supposed to look like that. You can't get it at Walmart. You got to come here. It's spirit stuff. It's God stuff. It's third dimensional stuff. We associate. You can be sitting in here and all of a sudden have an overwhelming feeling. It's called third dimension. You see the imprisonments of others. There's somebody in here who have chains of depression. You say, well, Alan, what if nobody responds to that? Well, if you were wanting to get the credit for it, you're going to be very disappointed. If you were just wanting to be obedient to it, it doesn't make any difference. Right? If you don't get the credit, you don't get the blame. Good deal with God. But what if somebody's here in chains and you're holding the key to unlock the chain? Would you take a chance on looking like an idiot to set somebody else free? Are you willing to suffer humiliation that someone else might become free? Do you feel it? Third dimension. So as Christians, we're to hold others in the book of Philippians higher than ourselves. And one way we do that is in the prophetic. We have a little time here of just trying different things. And, you know, and I've heard it all. You know, well, Alan, people's going to think we're a little crazy and all of the above. I know all that, but I've tried to make the gospel presentable, and it just cannot be done. It just cannot be done. If we do the book, it just can't be done. If we're obedient to the book. So you got the third dimension of suffering. You feel the sufferings of others. It's called association of the Spirit. Now watch this one. The first one is what we call first heaven. The second one, internal imprisonment, we call second heaven. And the third one is what we call third heaven, is seeing imprisonments of others. Jesus died for himself or others. He died for others. He died for you and I. So when you start seeing the imprisonments of others or the suffering of others, you're in third heaven revelation. If it's all about you, you're in first heaven. You hadn't cranked your motor good. You're just selfish probably. If it's all about you, you're just selfish and you're in first heaven and you're not here in any spirit. Second heaven, it's our own internal imprisonments. I need prayer. I hope somebody's got a word of knowledge for my imprisonment. You can say so that somebody can have a word of knowledge and all of a sudden it kind of hits you. So, I don't want everybody to know. Well, it's a good sign you're not ready. Because when you want free, you don't care who knows. Just get me out of this prison. This. Yeah, the more transparent you get, the better off it is. Now, third heaven, when you start seeing the imprisonments of others, you're seeing what Christ sees. And now listen, I promise you, you'll suffer. When you start seeing each other. When you start seeing me as I see, as we start seeing others really plain and for real, it'll cause pain in your heart on how much we need God. Instead of wanting to point out somebody's suffering, you'll get religious. Well, you need to quit smoking. Right? Something religious. Or you need to quit this. Or you need to quit that. Instead of having the compassion that somebody is chained by a habit or chained by something, then you have compassion. It's called the passion of Christ. You know what another word for passion is? Suffering. Same word. Passion and suffering. Same word. When we see each other clearly, it makes a huge sadness in here. That's what it does. It causes you to suffer. We feel sorry for each other. We're not trying to clobber and kill each other. We're in first or second heaven revelation. God's called the church to be in third heaven revelation, which is the ability to see the sufferings of other people. To stop there is a miserable place to be. You say, well, Alan, I thought I was in third heaven revelation. Well, you're seen in third heaven revelation. But you got to have the hope of third heaven revelation if you want to see with third heaven revelation. If you see the needs of everyone without the hope that God can change what you're seeing, it's a miserable place to be. Now let me move on. Christ's sufferings are a secret door. It's a secret door into the spiritual world. Is anybody interested in seeing that door? I mean, really. I mean, I'm talking about the sufferings. I'm talking about some huge stuff. But now the truth is, there's people sitting here, you suffered every day of your life and you don't understand it. You feel like you're condemned. You feel like I have nothing, everything goes wrong in my life. And I'm trying to tell you here what you do with it. Use it for your good. What Satan meant for evil, God will use it for good. Now just listen to me. I am tired of Satan using stuff for evil. I'm sick and tired of it. Let's let God use it for good. And the quicker you get at it, the quicker the devil will quit giving you so much. Because you're using his weight against himself. Now Christ suffered. It's a secret door. Suffering opens our spiritual eyes to see what Christ sees in the world. When you feel the sufferings of others, what that means is your spiritual eyes are beginning to become open. What causes a church to have true love is because we truly need see how much all of us in here need Christ. There is too many needs for us to fix them all. Yeah, come on. There's too much suffering for us to fix. The only thing we can do is Jesus. Come, Jesus. I can't tell everybody what they need to do to fix their suffering. We got to have the rook, spiritual rook card. Jesus. It'll trump it all. It'll trump it all of the sufferings. To have your eyes opened and see true reality will cause a degree of internal suffering for others. Are you with me? People say, Alan, I want to see in the prophetic. No, you don't. Because when we see in the prophetic, that's what you start seeing the world. Listen, Jesus' eyes were so clear, he died for it. The more you start seeing, the more you'll die for it. Out of the passion, because you're seeing clearly. If you're willing to correct somebody and not die for them, you ain't got it. People everywhere will correct people, but they won't die for each other. To have your eyes open and see true reality will cause a degree of internal suffering for others. It is called the passion of Christ. The word passion means suffering. It's where we get the word compassion from. You know the word compassion? I got compassion for you. What you're really saying is I'm willing to suffer for you. That's true compassion. Just because you feel it doesn't mean you're having compassion. That means you feel sorry for somebody. To suffer for and to have true compassion for somebody means you'll die for them. Let me walk with you. Let me die this death with you. I'll hold your hand. Let me walk with you. What happens, like if you got somebody in the hospital or whatever, they're getting ready to go through surgery. I'll be there with you. You've got family and friends. I'll be there with you. I'll hold your hand. Why is that time so important? It's because you're getting as close to their suffering as you can. Say, I'll walk with you through this. I'll hold your hand. I'll go with you. You're feeling their pain. That's what draws you there. You want to absorb some of their pain for them. You don't go in and say, well, now, dadgummit, if you had been eating right, you wouldn't have been in here to start with. That's not what you say. That's like running up to a car wreck and somebody's hurt and you give them a driver's manual. Makes about as much sense. Right? It's the passion of Christ. It's you associate with the sufferings of others. As you associate and you feel it, you've got to bring something to the table. And that's the hope of the gospel. So I'm going to hold your hand. We pray for people. We put our hands on them. And we pray for them. And it's out of, listen, if we're praying without compassion and passion, without identifying with their suffering, nothing's going to happen. We're just wanting to pray for them to show off Jesus. Listen, Jesus don't need to show off. He's big. He doesn't need to show off. God don't need to show off. But what? Listen, Jesus Christ does not want us to show him off. He wants us to love each other, have compassion for each other. Jesus Christ is still suffering today. How does he do that? Through me. When you feel the sufferings for somebody, that is Christ through you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Y'all thought it was going to be, you could throw bolts of lightning, didn't you? Zap somebody for Jesus. Right. No, you get to suffer for him. It's Christ's sufferings. Let's do some cross-referencing here. Philippians 3:10. That I might know him and the power, say power, power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his, there's a fellowship there of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Now, we say in here, God, send us your power. We want the power of the Spirit. We want God, listen, the way the power comes is because you have passion, compassion for each other. If somebody comes up here to be prayed for, don't be critical. We say, well, Alan, I don't know about that. Well, just say, I don't know about that. Don't be critical. Because the power, if you feel criticism coming up, push her down. Die to it. And if you'll die to it, it produces power of resurrection. You got to die to something. You're suffering. You got to die. We're dying to the old man. We're dying to our own selfishness. We're dying to our own criticism. And if we'll die to it, God will raise you in power. And if we can get more power going in here, we'll see more healings. That's right. Say, Alan, that's good preaching. That's right. We will. How do I know it's in here? Because it's in me. I can give you firsthand testimony. It's in me. I have a little doubt, have a little unbelief. And all of a sudden I'll get a word and I'll jump up here and say it like I know something. and sometimes it'll even be right. And I'll go back and sit down. I'm thinking, what in the world am I thinking? But all of a sudden it's like something comes on me. I think the Spirit of God. Goosebumps runs up your arm, up your back a couple times and back down like somebody turned a squirrel loose or something. And you just want to pop up there. And I'd sit down if I could, but I just can't. You ever tried setting somebody down that God stood up? Can't do it. Can't even hurt their feelings. I've tried it. Matter of fact, I've been given responsibility to set it down when it ain't God. And I'm like, if it's God, you can't set it down. That's the truth. You can't hurt somebody's feelings if it's God. You just feel sorry for them. What happens? It's the Spirit of the living. It's the power of the resurrection that comes forth. Now, there's fellowship in the sufferings. That means, what does the word fellowship mean to you? We're going to get together and have a good time. What we having? Suffering. Come on. Come over to my house. We're going to suffer tonight. Suffer for Jesus. Listen, if I told you come over to the house tonight, we're going to suffer for Jesus, and you were guaranteed there'd be resurrection power there, would you come? Every one of you'd be right there. It's attitude of truth. Jesus Christ suffers today because he suffers through us. The suffering is we have passion and compassion for each other. You can say, well, Alan, they look like an idiot. Well, you love them anyway. And hopefully they'll love you back when you look like an idiot for Jesus. It's the compassions of Christ. It's not like we got to get it right. We just need to do right. It's the fellowship of his sufferings. What else do we learn about suffering? Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we do what? Suffer with him, so that we may also be... Oh, you're kidding. How many people want the glory? You got to suffer to get it. Oh, I lost some hands. We want the glory, but we don't want the suffering. There again, suffering means you're identifying the sufferings of others. Children of God, joint heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. How many want glory to be in this church? To be revealed to us? Do you really? Listen, we've already got the sufferings. We just need to know what to do with them. Do you believe that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord? You say, well, Alan, I don't see how this suffering. You just don't understand the boss I've got. You just don't get it. I'm suffering under this persecution at work and on we go. You can be suffering with some illness. Anything. The only thing I can tell you is we can use our sufferings. We can turn it into glory. Sufferings is the fire. Let's look at it. 1 Peter, beloved, do not be surprised at this fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your, what? So suffering is what? It's also a testing. As though some strange thing were happening to you. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I came to Jesus, we started suffering. I mean, you know, Peter here says, like that's strange to you? Duh. But the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, excuse me, thank you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on what? I feel like I'm losing you. You do what? Listen, fake it till you get it. Say, rejoice. Thank you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Now, how can I rejoice in the sufferings of Christ? It's because my hope is not in my suffering. My hope's in Christ. I am suffering, but God, I give it to you. So I'm going to rejoice because I have hope in you. Amen. That's what he's saying. So I rejoice in that truth of that hope. So that also at the revelation of what? Revelation of what? Now, I want y'all to tell me when the revelation comes right after what? It's up there. It's on there. The revelation of glory comes right after. Just read it backwards. Glory by rejoicing. What's right before rejoicing? Suffering. How many people want more glory? All right, you're going to get more suffering. That means you got to rejoice more to get more glory. That's Bible. I didn't write it. I'm just reporting on it. That's Bible. There's a lot of people in here who went through a lot of suffering. I understand that. I'm not making light of it. I am trying to make sense of it. And I am also trying to cash in on it. That all the sufferings that you're experiencing will be used to bring glory. Glory is the presence of God. When we die, He is manifested. Keep on rejoicing that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Here's the deal. You suffer. Rejoice a little bit. You're going to get some glory. You give exuberant praise and it's going to be more glory. The revelation of His glory. You may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests where? Well, now there you go. If you're suffering, you've got a glory in waiting. Now that's just Bible. That's just Bible. If you're suffering, there's a glory in waiting. There's a measure of glory if you rejoice. There's another measure of glory if you rejoice a little louder. And if you really go for it and just bring the house down, His glory comes. That means He's in the house. See, God can send His glory, but when His glory comes, He is in the house. Listen, you can smell my cows before you see them. That's what that glory's doing. You can smell it. You feel it. Why is praise and worship so important to us around here? We just know we got to do it big time. But big time praise and worship doesn't happen but unless it comes out of suffering. And we come in here with all our suffering. So we say, God, here's our suffering. God said, I love you as much as I love me. I died for you. And it's out of the power of that love of God that He'll send us a little mercy, a little bit of glory. We'll rejoice a little bit. Yay, God. God send a little more glory. Hey, glory, God. When God comes in the house, we all hit our face. We're on the floor. You can feel the cloud of glory in the house. Every sick person will be healed, I promise you. It can't stay around His glory. We're getting tokens of glory, but we're shooting for His glory. Hallelujah. It'll rest on you. It'll rest on you. Reckon you can handle that one? It'll rest on you. If God's glory rests on you, that means God wants to come rest on you. I think that's big. I think she's pretty big. Paul wrote that we were to believe and suffer for Jesus Christ. If you are God's child, suffering in one form or the other will come to you. It's just the way it is. Don't shy away from it. We are embraced to hit it head on. Here's a reason for suffering. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. How do I get glorified? The glory rests on you. That's how you get glorified. The glory rests on you. You ever been to the bedside of somebody dying and they're comforting you? Go figure. They're comforting you. What's the deal? The glory's resting on them. They just got glorified. What happened to Moses when he went up on the mountain and got the Ten Commandments? He come back and his face shone. He just got glorified, that's all. The glory of God rested on him. He just showed out. Come out of his face. He got glorified up. Run all over him. Up his back. Goosebumps and the whole deal. He got glorified. What comes before being glorified and God resting on you? You got to suffer. Don't suffer just for suffering. Do something with the suffering. Suffering is an opportunity for the glory to rest on you. That's what it is. We just thought we wanted it, didn't we? Listen, you got to suffering just the same. We just will make good use of it. Reasons for suffering, a gift of sharing in Christ's sufferings. Philippians 3:10. That I might know Him. Uh-oh, getting a little more understanding now. That I might know Him. How many people pray, Jesus, I just want to know You. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. There's no way to get to the power unless we do the sufferings in Christ. When we're suffering, Christ is suffering one time again. We suffer for ourselves. We got our own internal imprisonments we suffer for. But in the ultimate suffering is when we suffer for others. And we put others before us. You see, if I worry about myself, I got one person. But if I don't worry about me, but I will about you, and you will do it all vice versa, that means I got 300 worrying about me. I swapped one for 300. Pretty good trade, what do you say? Reasons, Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your... Y'all didn't know sufferings was in the New Testament so much, did you? That's the reason I told Pastor C. I said, Pastor, I don't know if I got one more suffering in me. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake and in my flesh. I do not share on behalf of this body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Get it? When you feel the sufferings for others, you are filling up Christ's afflictions weren't full yet on the cross. They weren't full. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You thought that's all about jumping up and down, didn't you? Christ in you, the hope of glory, is so that you can feel the sufferings of others. And as we do that, we start filling up what was lacking in Christ's afflictions. If we don't suffer for others, nobody will. Christ died for others through you. If you don't do it for others, it's not going to happen. That's exactly right. Reasons for suffering. Suffering for Christ's sake, granted by God to all believers, it's a sign of salvation. How do you like that one? The results, perseverance, proven character, and hope. As you suffer well, it'll improve your character and it'll give you great hope. Suffering for Christ's sake. The world hates believers. He hated Jesus. The results, proof of faith. Rejoice. Being conformed to His image is the reason we suffer for Christ's sake. What's the result? It's Christ likeness. Okay, I'm about to finish up. He left us an example to follow. And when we follow Him, what does it do? It glorifies God. And here's what you got to understand. When God gets glorified, His glory comes and rests upon you. And you got to get it. When you glorify God, you draw the glory. The old boy said it'll run backwards on you. I'm going to stop on this one. Suffering proves your faith. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, the proof of it's more precious than gold, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of who? Where do you get the revelation of Jesus Christ? In the fire. Can I turn to one more scripture? It's 12 o'clock. Will you give me one more? Turn to Daniel. And I'll finish with this one. I think I just about suffered you plumb out here. Turn to Daniel. Chapter 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ comes in the fire. When you're in the fire, you'll get the revelation of Jesus Christ. How do you get in the fire? The fire is the suffering. When you're in the fire of suffering, what do? You rejoice. What happens? You'll send a little glory. Then what do? You rejoice a little louder. Then what do? He comes on the scene. He comes on the scene. He comes in there with you. Daniel, chapter 3. Y'all know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all know the story? Three Hebrew children. Thrown in a fiery furnace. Look at it in verse 23. Well, go to verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, he got angry with them. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's first heaven, second heaven. There's people that are bound up. These guys are going in to suffer. Watch it. Verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning furnace. You see that? Therefore, because the king commanded, a commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of fire slew these men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire was so hot, the people that took them up there to throw them in, they died. And they just got close to the fire. They just got close to the furnace. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Would you say being thrown into a fiery furnace is suffering? They got up in the fire and went around walking around rejoicing, praising God, and the glory come in there in the fire with them. Karen, if y'all would worship team, come on up. The Lord came in there in the fire with him. I want to read another verse here. Look at me in verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. See that? They came out of the fire, and the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon those bodies. The fire had no power. Oh, come on. Nor was their hair or their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire passed them. Now listen, you're seeing the sufferings of others. You're in the sufferings. But if you'll glorify God, if you'll rejoice, his glory comes on you. What kept them from burning up was the glory of God. They were in a fire, but the glory of God was resting on them. The glory of God was there. Then they rejoice some more. Then his glory come in the fire with them. He saw four. He saw four. And here's what happened, verse 29. The king got all excited. He called them outside. Y'all got a pretty big God, he said. He said, don't anybody say anything against their God. He's a big God. He was with them in the fire. He said, because I saw. He said, not only that, the hair wasn't even burned. You see, if like I said again, if you're standing beside somebody's bed and they're dying and they're comforting you, they're in the glory. The hair's not being singed. Nothing's wrong with them. They're walking right in the glory. But look what happened. Verse 29 says, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language will speak anything amiss against God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces. I'd say old King Neb got a conversion. He converted right over. And their houses shall be made dunghill, for there is no God other that can deliver anybody out of this thing. Then the king promoted. Now watch it. Now watch this one. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the providence of Babylon. Your place of suffering is your day of promotion. I just gave you the battle plan. Your suffering. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. That's your suffering. You rejoice in the midst of it. God will send you a little glory to protect you. You'll even wonder why you're doing okay. You'll rejoice a little bit. He'll send a little more glory. He'll protect you a little more. You'll say, well, I should have died. Well, if the glory wasn't there, you would have. Then his glory comes in, and he's in the house. Then you just walk around, you dance, and you shout, and you sing, and you'll walk right out of the fire into a big promotion. In the kingdom of God, your suffering is the beginning of your promotion and a new experiencing the glory of God resting upon you. It's the greatest honor of any Christian. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, it's my prayer that we'll recognize the sufferings that we've all experienced and are experiencing. Dear God, I pray that you'll give us the passion of Christ to see the sufferings of others. Dear God, I thank you for those that I've seen in the fire, and I've seen you there with them. Now, dear God, I declare this day, forgive us, O God, for not hitting our sufferings head on. Forgive us, O God, for wanting to run from our place of promotion. Forgive me, O God, for calling on the fire, and then I want to run out of it. Listen, y'all, if you're done in the fire, it's too late. Ain't but one way out. You got to have the glory. So, dear God, I pray right now, we repent, oh God, as a church, for not embracing our sufferings. Send your glory, oh God. Send your glory, oh God.